Okay, so I want to talk about the hidurim that we experience on the Seder night. Now, I don't claim that this is an exhaustive list of all of the hidurim that we do on the Seder night, but as you know, the Seder night is a night that we are mahader b'mitzvos, that a lot of things that we do are more muhudar than we would do the rest of the year. Obviously, that if you'd ask somebody what is the yontif that we most associate with hider mitzvah, perhaps they would not say Pesach. Perhaps they would say Sukkot, right? Because Sukkot is the pre-Eitz Hadar, right? You don't find, generally speaking, people standing around matzah bakeries on Erev Pesach or a week before Pesach looking at different matzahs with magnifying glasses to try to find which is the most mehudar matzah, as they do perhaps with an esrog or a lulav or something like that. But nevertheless, the Seder night especially is a night that we are mahader b'mitzvos ad ma'od. It's a night that we spend a great deal of time and energy trying to do mitzvahs in the best possible way. So I want to speak about a few different types of hidurim, and just as a springboard perhaps to get you thinking about the different types of hidurim that we do on the Seder night. So the opening Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim starts us off with a different kind of hidur mitzvah, right? So we have, Mishnah says, Erev Pesachim samach l'mincha lo yochal adam ad shetechshach. Right, a person should not eat on the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So, right, what is the reason for this? Why are you not allowed to eat on Erev Pesach? Anybody know? So that you're hungry, exactly. If you look in the Rashbam, and the same as in Rashi, right, lo yochal adam kidei sheyochal matzah shel mitzvah l'teyavon. Because you want to enjoy the matzah, right? Some people have already begun this minhag. Others observe the minhag from the Yerushalmi that on the Erev Pesach, right? What am I referring to that the Yerushalmi says? Don't eat matzah, right? Plenty of chametz.
And that was from before. I think you can't eat matzah from Rosh Chodesh.
Right. So that part is you can certainly do that if you so choose. But the actual minhag from the days of the Yerushalmi is not to eat it on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, you can't have any matzah. Right, and in order that we want the flavor of the matzah to be something new and a little more exciting than perhaps it would be if we were partaking in matzah all along. So there are those people who say, well, it's not going to be that exciting if I eat it the whole week before and then I just skip Erev Pesach, so I'm going to skip starting from Rosh Chodesh, or I'm going to skip starting from, you know, last Pesach or whatever it is. So there are those who don't eat matzah starting from a significant time period prior to the onset of Pesach. But that's the first idea, that we want a person to be hungry. So the idea of the minhag is that we want him to eat the matzah and enjoy the flavor of the matzah. But here we want the guy to be hungry, so he should not have eaten a big meal Erev Pesach afternoon, so that he eat l'teyavon. But then the next three words are the interesting ones for our purposes, which is mishum hidur mitzvah. Because of hidur mitzvah. So that's very interesting. Normally, I would have said, what's a hidur mitzvah? So I actually messed up. I don't know, source number four, it says the hidur mitzvah, that I left it out over there, but I had source number three, which talks about the normal understanding of hidur mitzvah, which is, we quoted from the pasuk in Oz Yashir, the Tanya, Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, Hisnoi Lefanav B'mitzvos, right? So we learn from Zeh Keli Va'anveyu, this is my God and I will beautify Him, I'll glorify Him, right? So what does it mean? How do you glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It says to do mitzvos in a very nice way. Asei Lefanav Sukkanoi, right? I'm sure many of you decorate the sukkah. So there's two reasons why we would decorate a sukkah. One is for the mitzvah of teshuvu ke'ein taduru. We want the sukkah to be similar to our domicile that we enjoy during the year. So just like a person very often moves into a home and then they don't just leave it bare, they decorate it. They put nice, what?
Hang up grapes.
Right, you hang up grapes on your roof and on your ceilings, and you put tinsel all over the house, right? So too, we do it in the sukkah as well, right? So that's, but the idea is the same, that we do the sukkah version of decorating in the house. So if you have real paintings in the house, you're going to put like a poster in the sukkah to make it similar to one's house. That's obviously a very important thing. But in addition to that, there is the idea of hidur mitzvah. You should have a nice sukkah. You shouldn't have a bad sukkah. If you can afford a nicer sukkah, get a nicer sukkah. Lulav noa, shofar noa. Right, shofar noa is an interesting one, because shofar, the mitzvah, is not the shofar. It's the sound that comes from the shofar, and yet we see that there's an inyan to have a nice shofar. It should look nice when you blow the shofar. It should make a nice noise. Tzitzis na, you should have nice tzitzis. Sefer Torah na. You should have a nice Sefer Torah. Some of the Sefer Torah that we read from, I get distracted when I get an Aliyah or something like that. I find myself, concentrating on how beautiful the Ksav is on some of these Sefer Torah. It's really unbelievable how they're writing such nice Sefer Torah nowadays. It's a very beautiful thing, you know. If people can afford it, they can order, you can order a nice enough Sefer Torah, but to some of the Sefer Torah that we have in our Aron Kodesh, if not all of them, are just as beautiful as anything I've ever seen in terms of Sefer Torah. People write very beautiful Sefer Torah, right? And v'kasav lo l'shmo b'dio noh. And then the Gemara says something else. It's not just about looking nice. It's not all about good looks. Also, you should write it l'shmo, meaning everything should be done with the right kavanos, right? And it should be done with the right kind of ink, the kumas noh, and even the pen that you use to write. It should be a nice pen. Right? It doesn't mean like you have to make them out of organic materials. It has to be a feather, a real pen like that. But it should be a good pen. Belavlar uman mekorcho b'shiro enon. You should even have a nice case that you wrap it up in. Right? We have nice what they call the mantle in Yiddish. Right? We have the beautiful things that we wrap the Sefer Torah in. These are all included in the idea of hider mitzvah. But one thing that we see here mostly is that it refers to the chetzah shel mitzvah. The chetzah shel mitzvah, the item with which we use to do the mitzvah, that is a beautiful item. But if it's not only reserved for the chetzah shel mitzvah, as we see a little bit in this Gemara, where we say, v'kasav bo l'shmo, right? You should do it l'shmo, meaning when you're actually writing it, you should have the right intentions, not just, obviously, the shemos have to be l'shmo, and etc., but like even the whole Sefer Torah, the more l'shmo it is, the better your kavana, better the Torah. It's hard to tell from when you take out a Sefer Torah, it's hard to tell when you open it up and start reading what the kavana of the sofer was, but nevertheless, that's part of the hider mitzvah, to write it properly. And now we see an additional idea of hidur from the Rashbam in Arvei Pesachim, that it's not just that the matzah, the quality of the matzah should be muhudar, rather, it's that the way in which you eat the matzah should be muhudar as well. Right? You want to consume the matzah in a muhudar fashion. If you eat it l'teavon, if you're enjoying it more because you've fulfilled the minhag that you haven't eaten matzah in some time, so that the flavor is new and exciting, and B, because you're hungry and you fulfilled the halacha that you're not allowed to eat, late erev Pesach, so you're doing a hider mitzvah by actually consuming it in a hearty fashion. You're doing it in a way that shows that you have a chavivus towards the mitzvah. So it's not just in the chetzah shel mitzvah; it's even in what we call the ma'isa mitzvah. The way in which one fulfills the mitzvah can also be subject to hidurim. Now, I for some reason I don't know what happened to the rest of this gemara. Source number four is supposed to be gemara bava kama. Right, they talk about the concept of hider mitzvah ad shlish. You're supposed to go ad shlish b'mitzvah. Now, obviously, what that means is you're supposed to add one third of the price onto a mitzvah. So, if a kosher lulav will cost $100, just making it up. Usually, it's not that much, but a kosher lulav will cost $100. So, you're supposed to add one third to that particular price. The question the Gemara has, a question, how do you calculate the one-third? Okay, well, Lamaisa, you add one-third to the price, and you should be mahadir to have a kosher lulav for one-third more than $100, right? So that's very hard to do nowadays, where, like, the market doesn't... Nowadays, you just have every kind of thing, and some things are quadruple the price of other things. It's really a little bit iffy in terms of how you do that. I remember foolishly going... I needed a new pair of tefillin, so I foolishly went to the sofer, and said, the guy said, okay, what kind of parshias do you want? So I said, I don't know, hider mitzvah, ad shlish, like, what's your basic, and then I'll take one third more expensive than that. He's like, fool, it doesn't work that way. Like, like, these are the X amount of dollar buy, these are double that, these are triple that. I'm like, I don't know, that's not chazal. Obviously, we're not as wise to the ways of the modern market system as they should have been, they'll work on their game. But the bottom line is that there is a concept of hider mitzvah shlish, and I'll just to mention I don't think I have it on the list, but there is a diyuk in the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah when the Rambam discusses the chiyuv of achilas matzah on the Seder night. So he points out that there is a, he doesn't point it out, others point out in the Rambam, I think the Maral has this in his Sefer on Pesach, he points out in the Lashon of the Rambam, and others do as well, that the Rambam's Lashon when it comes to the mitzvah of achilas matzah is Mishe'ochel Kezayis Yotza. Right, you're yotze when you ate a kezayis. Mashma, he says, it's a mitzvah to eat matzah on the Seder night, and when you eat a kezayis, you're yotze. So many have been medayik that the Rambam holds that to eat more than a kezayis is also a mitzvah. But the kezayis is the minimum amount that you have to eat to be yotze the mitzvah. So the question then becomes, what is the status of the remaining matzah that you're going to eat on the Seder night? So Rav Nevensal, in his Haggadah, he has in the back of the Haggadah, he has like short little halacha comments. So he comments on this Rambam that he wanted to suggest that maybe the Pshat and the Rambam is very simple, that there is the mitzvah to eat a kezayis, and then there's a hider mitzvah to eat more than a kezayis. So that's not necessarily, that the Maral definitely doesn't learn it that way, but that's his suggestion. So then he suggested, based on that, okay, so what's the klal in hider mitzvah? Hider mitzvah ad shlish. When you do a hider mitzvah, you add up to one third. So I thought that was a tremendous chiddush, because we say ad shlish in the chetzah shel mitzvah, but do we say ad shlish in the maisa mitzvah? That's so if you ate a kezayis, so you should eat a kezayis and one additional third of a kezayis, right? So that's, I don't know, that's what he suggested, but so he didn't want to say that, let's say a person eats 10 kezayisim of matzah on the Seder night, he's not yotze 10 mitzvahs, he's yotze one mitzvah, and he did a hider of additional, you know, additional eating more matzah. So that's a, you know, okay, that was his suggestion, but I don't know for sure that we apply the klal of hider mitzvah ad shlish to the maisa mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah is done. The mehudar, that's enough, you know, to suggest that. Okay, the maisa, we have other examples of this, just quite, we're learning brachos in yeshiva this year, so on Daf Chaf Aleph, you have a shita of Tosfos, where Tosfos suggests that what do you do if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei when Chazar Sashat starts, right? So a lot of times you come back from Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, you have this problem that sometimes, you know, the guys in Yeshiva, they have all day, so no, I want to daven a longer Shmona Esrei, so I'll be a little late to morning Seder, Nishka Ferelech. But if you're, you know, davening in a regular minyan, you got to get to work. The boss is not as understanding. So you have to daven a quicker Shmona Esrei. So the yeshiva guy is in the middle of Shmona Esrei by the time the Chazar Sashat is going on. So what is he supposed to do when they get to Kedusha? So he quotes from Rashi, Tosfos quotes from Rashi, Adam Espal, Visham, Piyah Chazan Kadesh O Kedusha, Eino Yochel Lahav Sigulano Simat Tzibur, not allowed to answer the Tzibur, Ela Yishtok V'yamtin Ma'at, Tishomei Ke'ona. He says, what should you do? You should remain silent, and you'll listen. Right? Stop the davening. You'll listen to the Shliach Tzibur say the Kedusha. You'll listen to the Shliach Tzibur say Kaddish. And then you'll go back to davening. You'll be Yotzei the Kaddish of the Kedusha with Shomea Keone. V'yesh Lomer. So Tosfos suggests, De Lecharchila Ein La'asos Kein. This is not the Lecharchila way to go. De Aniyah Chashiva Tfei Hidur Mitzvah. Because answering Kedusha on your own is better. So what do you mean? You never heard of Shomea Keone? Shomea Keone, it's as if I answered myself. Yes, but then there's an issue of hidur to actually do it yourself. There is certainly the ability to be yotzei the mitzvah, and you are yotzei the mitzvah. You're not yotzei l'mahadrin because you didn't go ahead and do it on your own. So that's what we have over here also, an additional idea of hidur mitzvah, not just in the way you do the mitzvah, but in actually performing the mitzvah on your own, as opposed to necessarily being yotze from somebody else. Just skip to the back, in case we don't get there in time, but if you skip to the back, where did I go there? I'm just kidding, maybe it's on the front. But there is such an inyan of... Oh, you know what? It's source number 7. We'll just go to source number 7. Right? The Shulchan Aruch over here is discussing the idea of baking matzahs. Baking matzahs. Right? So what's the big mile of baking matzahs? You buy the matzah. You go to the store, and you buy from the matzah. It comes from the exact same factory that you would have been at, you know, baking the matzah yourself. So what's the big mile? It says, Harosh Hoya Mishtadel B'matzas Mitzvah. The Rosh used to get involved in baking his own matzahs. Va'omir ala siyasa. He used to stand over the baking process. Mizaris Oskin Bayam, Messiah Barichasan. He used to get everybody all riled up and he used to join in. And so too, it's fitting for everybody to do this and to participate in the mitzvah himself. First of all, what mitzvah? Show me which Rishon in the Minyan Taryag quotes baking matzahs, besides none of them. They don't. No Rishon quotes baking matzahs in the Taryag mitzvahs. So how could it be that there is a inyan to be mishtatef in this mitzvah? A, it's not even a mitzvah. B, why are you being mishtatef in it? So this is subject most likely to the famous comment of the Netziv. Right, the Netziv in the Hamek Sheila has this idea called a Hechsher Mitzvah Kasuv B'Torah. Right, so the Netziv, you guys were with Lord Makkos, right? So we probably spoke about this that year. So there's a Rashi in Makkos, which is Mashma like this. Rashi in the second parak of Maseches Makkos discusses, let's say you were chopping wood in the forest and you accidentally killed somebody B'Shogi. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And over there, the Gemara discusses, how do you know that he was chopping wood for a Rishus? Maybe he was doing it for a mitzvah, right? So, and what would he be chopping wood for? That's such a big mitzvah. Maybe he was chopping wood for the maracha. Maybe he was chopping wood for a sukkah. So then the Gemara answers, not that's not a mitzvah. How do I know? Because it's chopping. If you would already have a sukkah, enough wood for the sukkah, there would be no mitzvah to chop wood. If you already had enough wood for the maracha, there would be no mitzvah to chop wood for the maracha. So therefore you see, that's a raya, that it's not a mitzvah. And then Rashi over there has a lashon which implies that it's still an inyan to do it. Meaning there's an inyan to do it yourself if you're going to be chopping wood for your own sukkah if you need it. So mehecha tesi, I could go hire, there's tons of, a few years ago there was, I don't know if they're still in the business, but the Litton brothers used to build sukkahs. Right, so I said, is there a bigger inyan to build your own sukkah, or is there a bigger inyan to have the Litton brothers come and build your sukkah? You could get somebody else to do it for you, right? So, or maybe when your parents, they could build the sukkah themselves, your dad could go out there and work on the sukkah himself, or he could make you do it. So what? Which one is better? So the answer is, it's better to get involved in doing it yourself. It's not a mitzvah, so the Netziv explains. You're right, it's not a mitzvah to build a sukkah, and it's not a mitzvah to bake matzahs. It's true. But there is an inyan of, he wants to suggest that there is a concept of a hechsher mitzvah, but it's discussed in the Torah. There's a hechsher mitzvah that's discussed in the Torah, which is if you do the mitzvah on your own, if you do the hechsher mitzvah on your own, since it's mentioned in the Pesukim, he says we would apply the klal of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. We would apply the idea of you doing it is better than getting someone else to do it for you. Right? You guys do that Gemara and Kiddushin of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho? The beginning of the second parak? This is whatever. The one of the sources of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho is Gemara and Kiddushin, where it says that it's better to marry the girl on your own than to send a shaliach to do it. By the way, just as practical advice, it's very good advice. Don't send a shaliach to your wedding. It's not going to go over great with the in-laws. And nevertheless, there's a concept, even if it would have gone over well with the in-laws, there's a concept of mitzvah bo, yoser mi b'shlucho, that you should do the mitzvah on your own. So then there's a kasha on the rush. What are you talking about? The rush perhaps has a shita that it is not a mitzvah to do kiddushin. It's only a hechsher mitzvah for peru revu. So the answer is, yeah, but it's certainly a hechsher mitzvah that's written in the Torah. There's no doubt that this is mentioned in the Torah. Ki yikach ish isha, right? So we know that kiddushin is mentioned in the Torah. Therefore, it would be subject to the concept of mitzvah bo, yosmi b'shlucho, just like building your own sukkah and just like baking matzahs. We have this idea that it's always better to do it yourself. And perhaps the pshat is that why is it better to do the mitzvah yourself? Mishum hidur mitzvah, says Tosos, because to say the words yourself of Kedusha, to answer Kaddish on your own, rather than to just stand quietly and listen to somebody else do it, is perhaps a hidur mitzvah. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah to do it yourself, rather than to be yotze with someone else. So this is another type of hidur mitzvah in the maisa. To do the action on your own is better than to do the maisa through someone else and you just be yotze. Now there's an additional method of hidur mitzvah that's a little lesser accepted, but it's certainly an inyan that's very relevant to Pesach, and certainly an inyan that's very relevant amongst B'nai Yeshiva. Right, I was once listening to a shmooze by a certain mashgiach, and he wanted to say, there's a No, and the Chazal say that the Jewish people are ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, right? So we're believers and we're the children of believers, right? So there's something to say about b'nei Torah. They're machmirim b'nei machmirim, right? They love chumras. So they chop as many chumras as they possibly can. So you say, well, what's the point of that? So there is a little bit of a point. Again, everything to be done in the proper measure, and certainly it should be done with understanding. It's one of the things I like to just remind yeshiva guys about is that just because you heard that someone once did it doesn't mean that you should do it. But nevertheless, if you're going to take on a certain chumra, it should be meaningful to you because you learned the topic well and you understand it, and it's actually meaningful, right? So. Lamaisa, there is room for such a suggestion. If you look in source number 6, the Prima Gadim has this idea, which is Vihine, im yesh plugta derabusa, v'halacha de kosher. Let's say there's a machlokes amongst the poskim, and the halacha is that it's kosher. But ze yesh lomar mitzvah behidur ad shlish, latzeis kol adeos. So he says there is an idea of hidur mitzvah ad shlish. Doesn't mean dafka ad shlish, but he's saying there is an inyan of hider mitzvah to be yotze according to as many opinions as possible, to be yotze all the opinions. If you can do it, it's not always shaykh in all cases. But if it's possible, you say, well, what are you wasting your time for? There's a machlokes Tosfos in the Rambam, and we're passing like Tosfos. Yeah, but if I just do it this other way, I could be yotze also according to the Rambam. You say, yeah, but what's the point? The psak is the psak. So you say, there is an inyan of hider mitzvah to be yotze according to all of the opinions. If you, again, it's possible in certain cases, not as possible in other cases, and certainly it's not something you should make the whole world meshugana about your chumras, right? So just to give you a mashal from that same shmuz that I once heard, he said that, let's say you're very machmer in halachas of netilas yadayim, which is virtually impossible nowadays that we use so much water, that everybody's being super machmer just because it's the nature of, of how we wash netilas yadayim. It's very easy to keep every chumra in the book without, any problems, but nevertheless, let's say there's a really slow sink and you want to wash dafka with a revius and everybody else is washing with enough water to cover their hands, whatever. So you get to the back of the line, right? You should be in the back of the line, not on the front of the line making everybody else behind you wait, because that is what we call a chumra haba lide kula. Your chumra of, wanting to keep the laws of Netilas Yadayim very, very carefully becomes a kula, for everybody else who has to wait behind you, right? That's they tell over that maysa about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that he washed Netilas Yadayim at someone's house only to the knuckles, right? The way we do it, let's say, on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Right? He washed only until the knuckles, and they said, what do you mean? That might be the Ikar Day and Rishonim, but we generally machmer like the Rif, to wash until the wrist. So he says, why do you wash only until the knuckles? He says, because if you take a look at the girl, there was an orphan girl who was in charge of schlepping the water down from the well. So he says, I'm not going to be machmir to wash until my wrist on her cheshbon. I don't need her to throw out her back so I could wash until the wrist. I can wash until the knuckles with, again, so Baruch Hashem, we don't have to make decisions like this anymore. We can wash with b'shefa. We can wash with tremendous amounts of water. Not a problem. But just for example, it's very important to keep in mind that, yes, you want to be yotzei l'chol adeos, but who's paying the bills that you use for all of your chumras? So if your parents are on board and they're very happy that the son wants to be yotzei l'chol adeos, then kol ha'marbe raise a meshubach. But if you're just assuming they would be happy with you spending their money and taking their time and, etc., so that you could be yotzei l'chol adeos, you have to weigh that as part of the cheshbon. Nevertheless, the Prima Gadim does say that there is an inyan of hider mitzvah to be yotzei l'chol hadeos. That's the idea that the Prima Gadim suggests as well. Okay, just going through a couple of the, ideas that we have in the basic hidurim that we keep on the side. If you look in source number 9, we have the idea that you should drink a revius for each one of the dalad kosos, right? And what is the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch there? The yishte kulo o rubo, right? So you should drink the entire kos or the majority of the kos. Now, this is not so relevant for those of us who are drinking grape juice, but if you want to drink wine, and there is an inyan to be mahadir to drink wine, if you can pull it off, you should be keep in mind that you're supposed to drink the entire kos, and if that's difficult, you should drink the majority of the kos. Now, let's say you're mamish stuck, right? And you have this big goblet, that holds a solid 12 ounces. So technically, you should be drinking 12 ounces for every kos. Ah, you can't drink 12 ounces, so drink 6.1 ounces. What about, you can't drink 6.1 ounces. By the time the Seder is over, you'll have consumed 25 ounces of wine. That's not nothing significant. So you want to make it till the end of the Seder. So that the Shulchan Aruch quotes over here, V'yeshomim shetzarech lishtos rov hakos, afilu machzik kama revi'iyos. Even if the kos is very big, you still have to drink rov kos. You still have to drink the majority of it, so it pays to be wise. Find a kos that's the size of a revi'is. Don't find the biggest kos in the house. Find a kos that holds, 4 to 5 ounces. The yotze, if you want to be a machmir shir of a revi'is, I think the chazanish is like 5.3 ounces. Rav Moshe is way smaller than that. So there's some that say for mitzvahs daraisa, maybe you want to have a bigger revi'is. For mitzvahs darabanan, you have a smaller revi'is. So you want to have 5.5 ounces for kiddush, which is a mitzvah daraisa. If it's Shabbos, probably only midrabanan. If it's yantif, so this year, probably no need for a 5-plus-ounce kos. You'd probably be yotze with 3-plus ounces, but let's go crazy and have 4.5-ounce kos, right? Because those 3.5-ounce kos is tiny, just for the record. You can measure it out before yantif if you want, but it's a tiny kos. Generally speaking, an average size kiddush cup is more than enough for the chazanish. It's more than enough for everybody. Right? There's a good story, which may even be true, that the Mendel Zaks, who was originally the bochein in Yeshiva University for a number of years, he was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim, and when he retired, he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Mattersdorf, right across from Rav Scheinberg's Yeshiva, Torah Or. So after he died, for whatever reason, obviously a woman is technically allowed to make kiddush, but for whatever reason, his almana did not want to recite her own kiddush. So they used to have a bacher from yeshiva come over every Friday night to make kiddush for Rebbetzin Zaks, and then they would go back to yeshiva, I guess, to eat, or they would be yotze kiddush makom. So I'm not really sure how they did it, but nevertheless, they came in to make kiddush, and the yeshiva guy says to Rebbetzin, he says, Rebbetzin, do you have a bigger kos? This kos is not really big enough for a revi'is. So probably much funnier in the original Yiddish that she said it to him in, but she basically said to him, this was a wedding gift from my father. So it was a gift from the Chafetz Chaim. So Chafetz Chaim wouldn't have cut it in as Yeshiva Bachar Bizman Hazeh. But nevertheless, he wasn't machmir enough. He's plenty machmir. Rishon Brewer is very machmir safer, but nevertheless, he didn't make the cut. So there's a very similar story about Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler had a gift that was from his wife's, I think from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rav Chaim Moser, I don't remember. He had a kiddush cup that he didn't use kol zman that he was living in Bnei Brak out of respect for the chazanish, because it wasn't a chazanish revius. But he used to keep it on the table, as a zecher, or he did use it. I don't remember the whole nisa. But again, it's there's a difference between the history of halacha and halacha. But nevertheless, they should be mahadir to have a kos that holds a revius. Most kosos that we have is manazet hold a revius, but lemaisa, drink a rov, drink the entire kos if you can, and drink rov kos if you can't. But don't have a huge kos. That way, you chacham in a verosho that you can be yotze the mitzvah of dalet kosos lemahadrin by drinking the entire kos. If you have a normal sized kos, you go the entire night. You won't have to consume that much wine. Okay, similarly, the Shulchan Aruch also writes in Siman Taf Ayin Beis, you should try to drink the shir below Hefsek all the main time. Try to drink it in a timely fashion. Mitzvah lachzor achar yayin adom, imein alavon meshubach mimenu, meaning if you have equal quality red wine and white wine, then drink the red wine. If you have high quality white wine and low quality red wine, then drink the white wine. But
subjective taste?
Sure, yeah, that's what we were talking about before, having it l'teyavon. If you hate white wine, is assuming you like both of them fairly equally, right? If you hate white wine, don't force it down your throat because it's more expensive. There are people, the average Jew likes a good, cheap wine, So, Lemaisa, let's say you have a choice between Bartonura Moscato and Bartonura Malvasia, right? So that's the red version of the Moscato, right? So, okay, so then it's equal quality. They taste pretty much the same. And so there, it's not such a big nafkamina. So go for the red, But if you love the white or whatever it is, so then, okay, go for the white. But if you can't stand it and it's very expensive, so you don't have to like convince yourself, since it's expensive, may I like it, and whatever. Don't trick yourself into doing it. You want to eat it l'teyavon. That's certainly a hider unto itself, as we said by the matzah. Okay, so that's. But this is the same idea that we had before. Similarly, another hider mitzvah that people view as not a hiddur mitzvah, but really is a hiddur mitzvah, in source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing the list of what yirakos you use for maror. So that says the ikar mitzvah bechazeres v'mein lo chazeres yachzor achar rishon kaviyas seder shehim shnuyim. The Shulchan Aruch says the list of different types of maror that we have in the Mishnah is not just by chance; it's in order. It's in order of preference. And chazeres, the roaming lettuce, is the first of the choices. And tamcha, which is assumed to mean horseradish, is not the first of the choice, not even the second of the choice. Right? So it's a question, what do you do about hider mitzvah? Some people will say, no, hider mitzvah is dafka horseradish because it blows your head off and whatever. Okay, listen, I'm not going to start a fight if that's what they like to do with the Seder. So then, okay, you certainly, the tradition is that you yotze with horseradish. If you read my Pesach notes or you're interested, I have a couple pages on why I think it's not such a great idea to be yotze with horseradish. It's not my chiddush; it's based on the words of the poskim. But romaine lettuce is definitely the more mehuder way of trying to be yotze. But nevertheless, you're yotze in any way you can. But there's a mitzvah to dafka try to choose the best one of the mine mora. This is another hider we have on the Seder night. Now, a little more of a complicated hider is in source number 11, where we have a little bit of a discussion as to which matzahs a person is supposed to eat. So, Lamaisa, which matzah are you supposed to use to be yotze your mitzvah achilas matzah? Which matzah are you supposed to use? The bottom one, it depends how many matzahs you started with. You are correct if you're using two matzahs. If you're the Rif and the Rambam, then you're correct. But for the way most B'nai Ashkenaz do it, you use the middle matzah, right? So the middle that you're not using, anyway. But the middle that's there right now is the broken one. So you're supposed to use the broken one for the mitzvah achilas matzah. Why? Because that is lechem oni. Lechem oni has a double meaning according to the Gemara. It's lechem she'onim alav dvarim. Right? You speak a lot of words. That's why we leave the matzah, specifically the middle one, should be revealed during the recitation of the Haggadah. But additionally, it's lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. Ma darka shel oni beprusa. Right? So it's the derech of the oni is not to eat a whole loaf of bread. He gets a piece of a loaf of bread. So too we eat the broken matzah. So therefore we specifically want to make the al achilas matzah on the middle matzah. The problem is hamotzi, you need lechem mishneh. So which bracha is the hamotzi going on? Which bracha is the al achilas matzah? The al achilas matzah is going on the middle matzah. The hamotzi might be going on dafka, the top and the bottom matzah. So what are you going to do about that? So that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Rishonim who recommend eating two kezesim of matzah when you are the mavarik, right? It says, stam lashon of Shulchan Aruch is to eat two kezesim. It's mashma that everybody should eat two kezesim of matzah, although Achronim have pointed out that this really only applies to the guy making the bracha. Okay, Lamaisa, it's true. Both statements are true. The Shulchan Aruch implies everybody should do it, and the Rosh Shlomo Zalman and others point out that maybe it's only talking about the guy who actually makes the bracha, not the guy who pulls out of a box for some extra matzah. He's not necessarily going to be yotze with that. So there they're saying that you should take some of the top matzah and some of the middle matzah, kezias from each one. Right? This is obviously assuming that a matzah has the ability broken up into multiple kezesim. Right? Okay, that you can discuss with your local chart. But the charts, Rabbi Willig, I heard a share from Rabbi Mordechai Willig on Sunday morning. He was discussing that he's not the only one who says it. Rosher Weiss is very into talking about this nowadays, that they firmly believe that the size of a kezias is the size of an olive, which is, I think he said, approximately 1/15 of the size of the average hand shmura matzah. There's about 15 kezesim in a hand shmura. He said, let's say you want to double it. Let's say you want to go for the more machmir shear of half of a kebetza. So he said that's about 1/5 the size of a hand shmura matzah. Big round one. So about 1/5 of that would, in his opinion, constitutes a machmir kezias. Even if you want to be more machmir than that, I would never think to say go more than 1/2 of a matzah. You'll find charts that'll tell you 62 matzahs in a kezias. Like, there's not, Rav Aaron Silver, when I was in Karen Biavna, said they once asked Rav Soloveitchik, how big is a kezias? I don't know how big a kezias is. He said, He said some shittas in Rishonim hold a kazayas is one third of a kibetza. The other opinion in Rishonim holds a kazayas is half of a kibetza. And he says, and I know elephants don't lay eggs, so it's somewhere the size of half of an egg. I'm not talking about an ostrich egg, you know. We're talking about half of an egg. So half of an egg is approximately one-fifth of a matzah. Now, it's also important to keep in mind, I don't know if you guys are, worried about this, but there's a concept that you have to eat a kazayas of matzah, but toch kedei achilas pras, right? The maximum amount of time that you could extend is the time that it takes to eat a pras. So that's why you have people who eat tons and tons of matzah very, very quickly. That is not necessary according to anyone. Now, let me explain why. It's very simple mathematics, right? That the reason you know it's not necessary according to anybody is that how many kazesim are in a pras, right? How many kazesim are in a pras? So how much is a pras? It's according to the Gemara, pras, and the Rishonim say it's either 3 eggs or 4 eggs. Now, two opinions in how many kazesim in a kibetzah. It's one opinion that there are 3 kazesim in a kibetzah. There's one opinion that there are 2 kazesim in a kibetzah. So now, let's say you're very machmir, which means a pras is only 3 eggs, so that's a shorter time period, and a kazayas is half an egg. So you have the amount of time to eat one kazayas of matzah that it takes the average person to casually eat 6 kazesim. Now, even if you want to say it's not 6 kazesim of matzah, 6 kazesim of bread, okay, still, you still have a lot of time. So if you say, let's say some people say, well, it depends. Some poskim hold kedei achilas pras only 2 minutes. Some people hold it's 9 minutes. Yeah, because they're arguing how big is a pras, right? So they're discussing how big is a pras. Meaning, male, if you hold a pras is smaller, you hold a kazayas is smaller. If you hold a pras is bigger, you have more time, means you could even bigger kazayas. You can't mix the two shittas like that. Meaning, it's just, there's certain, in other words, the Gemara has this idea that if you want to do the Chumras of Beis Hillel and the Chumras of Beis Shammai, you can't do them when they're so ser zeh zeh. You can't keep contradictory Chumras. To keep a Chumra that a Kazayas is really, really big, and also to say Kedei Achilas Pras is really short, is impossible. Because you, according to the most Machmir opinion, you have the amount of time it takes someone normal to do this 6 times. And according to the most makel opinion, meaning a kazayas would be only one third of a kibetzah, and there are 4 beitzim in a pras, you have the amount of time it takes a person to do this 12 times. So as long as you are not intentionally going very, very, very slowly, you're good to go. You understand what I'm saying? So if you want to eat a big kazayas, tavo alecha bracha, that's really nice. I'm a big eater. I eat a lot, so I'm machmir for my kazesim when it comes to, you know, French fries and burgers and pizza. So I'll be machmir for my kazesim when it comes to matzah too. It's only appropriate, you know. But okay, so I eat a big meal. I eat a big kazayas of matzah, but I don't have to scarf it down super quickly because I know that I have a lot of time regardless. So no matter how big or small the size of the kazayas is, you will have enough time to eat it like a normal person. There is no doubt about that. Now, the thing that you might not want to do like a normal person is that the Shulchan Aruch suggests v'yochlein behaseba biyachad kezayis mikol echad. You should eat the matzah, 2 kezayis that we spoke about, from the top matzah and the middle matzah. You should eat them leaning, and you should do it together. Eat them together. So then the question becomes, what does it mean to eat them together? So there is a chumrah out there that it means, you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he suggests it, it means to swallow them together. Now, if we're suggesting that swallowing 2 kazesim together can be done, by definition, they can't be all that big. And second of all, he says that that's really, like, there's no mitzvah to choke, there's no mitzvah to do this like a crazy person. Like, if you can pull it off, which means that some people might have a chumrah that they want to chew the matzah and keep it in their mouth, and then swallow it, you know, in a timely fashion. Again, don't choke yourself. Don't do something that's going to cause your body to reject this mitzvah. You want to actually fulfill the mitzvah. Okay? But nevertheless, there is such an idea, there is such a hidur to try to eat both kazesim at once. Again, let's assume for argument's sake that the kazayas is not ridiculously huge. Otherwise, this is absolutely impossible to do. Okay, so if you're going to eat a really, really big kazayas, do not try to eat both kazesim at once. Okay? You have to forego something for the other thing. Okay? You can't do both. You can't have a humongous kazayas and swallow them both at once. That's physically impossible. Okay? Pick one. You want to try to eat them both at once, then you're fulfilling the words of the Shulchan Aruch. If you don't want to try to eat them both at once, you want to fulfill the opinion that a kazayis is really, really big, okay, try that, but don't do both. Okay, let's just go a little bit further. We have the idea in source number 12 of eating the afikomen, right? Eating the afikomen, where he says you're supposed to eat a kazayis of matzah at the end. Now keep in mind, you have to make a good cheshbon. You don't want it. The sugya that the Gemara brings up of achila gasa comes next to the sugya of achilas afikomen, or more relevantly, achilas of korban pesach. Right, so when you eat the Karban Pesach, it can't be an Achila Gasa. You want to fulfill the mitzvah. According to the Rashbam, according to one opinion in Tosfos, the Iker mitzvah of Achilas Matzah is fulfilled at the time of the Afikomen. Right? So you want to really do a good job eating the Afikomen. You don't want to be so stuffed that you can't do it. Right? So if you're keeping tally with the Mishnah Brura's way of doing things, with the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura suggests over here in Sifkat and Aleph and Tafayin Zayin, Ulechadchila tov sheikach shnei zeisim. You should try to eat two kezeisim for the afikomen. Echad zeicha lepesach veechad zeicha lematzah nechel asimo. One is in remembrance of the Korban Pesach, and one is in remembrance of the matzah, right? Al matzah samarorim yochlu. They used to eat a kazayis of matzah together with the Korban Pesach. So you want to eat two kazayis of afikomen. So if you're keeping score, that's five kazayis of matzah that you're eating over the course of the Seder night. You're eating one for motzi, one for matzah, right? That's motzi matzah over there. Then you're having one for korech, and then you're having two for the afikomen. So you have to plan ahead. You can't, again, if you want to eat more machmir kazayisim, and you're going to hopefully want to eat some of the meal, right? Hopefully your mother or the chef at the hotel or whoever did it prepared a beautiful meal for you. So you can't say to your mom, sorry, mom, I know you slaved in the kitchen for a long time preparing this meal, but I ate a lot of matzah, so I'm good. Right? Don't do that. It's not okay. Make sure you have a little bit of room for that as well. Now, Baruch Hashem, we're usually good at this, especially if you've been in yeshiva all year and you haven't really eaten such delicious food, so you might be more appreciative. But make sure you have enough room. If you're cheshbon and you're going to eat five kezeisim of matzah over the course of the night, make sure that you have enough room to that it should not be an achila gasa by the time you get to the afikomen, and that way you could be mahadir to keep all of the chumras, to eat five kezeisim of matzah. That's, you end up eating five kezeisim of matzah, two kezeisim of maror, you know, and the meal on top of that with to go with your dalid kosos and whatever else you drink over the course of the night. So it's a busy night, you know. Okay, and last point, the concept of haseba is a great topic to discuss. But one thing we know about haseba is that the Shulchan Aruch records that lechadchila, at the very end over there, lechadchila is from the Ramah, yesev kol hasu'uda. There is an inyan. Lechadchila, one should try to lean for the entirety of the meal. Now, one could debate whether or not we really want to lean for the entirety of the meal if, for us, leaning is not comfortable. So if leaning is uncomfortable for you, you could decide whether or not you want to try leaning for the entirety of the meal. But Lemaisa, the Ramah says, Lechadchila, there is an inyan from the Mari Bruna that you should do Haseba for the entirety of the meal. That is also Begeder Hider Mitzvah the Seder night. One thing for sure is that there are many more Hidurim that I didn't mention that are noeg on the Seder night. The goal of these Hidurim that we enjoy on the Seder night are to make us feel very much like lechadchila type people, lechadchila type Jews. And really, the Seder night is such a great opportunity to bring a real state of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a real state of intense deveikus, if you will, something where we feel like the chosen people, we feel that the sense that we left Mitzrayim, that we were brought into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's embrace. And it should be understood that that is the goal, right? The goal shouldn't just be to check off boxes on a list, like, did I do this hidur, did I do that hidur? The hidurim should be done in the spirit of bringing us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a particular hidur you don't feel brings you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a hidur. You don't have to do it. You know, keep that in mind. If it's not, obviously you have to fulfill the mitzvahs, kedasu kedin, no doubt. You know, you love them, you don't love them, that's up to you. But certainly when you're dealing with hidurim, the goal of the hidurim should be to make you feel a sense of kedusha, to make you feel a sense of lechadchila, and in that way, we'll accomplish some of the real cheiris that we're going for on the Seder night. Have a good night, guys.